Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Yuma Ayin Tes. We begin at the last line of Ayin Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah told us, Ha'oichel kichayseves hagasa. What is the shir? Achila Yom Kippur, food, which has the volume, the shir of a kichayseves, a date, hagasa, a large size date. The Mishnah adds, Kamoya, Ukigari Nasa, as the date itself and its pit. There are two ways to understand this Mishnah. By Rav Papa, he presented the following Shaila. Kecheseves Hagasa She'amru. The Kecheseves that we spoke about, Bigari Nasa, was it referring to the date with its pit inside? That's also included in the Shi'ur. Oy Belai Gari Nasa, or perhaps without its pit, explains Rashi on the top line. Bigari Nasa. Oy Shaloi Bigari Nasa. Ahadiktani Masnis Uchigari Nasa. When the Mishnah says, Kamayo Gigari Nasa, mi Boile. Hechika Amar. Question is, what does the Mishnah mean? Kamaya Ukigari Nasa Yachad. You combine the pit and the flesh together to provide that shiur for Yom Kippur. So the food that one eats needs to be equal in volume to the actual fruit part of the date and also to its pit part. Oy Dilma Hachiga Amar. Or perhaps differently. Kamaya Oy. The Bach adds, Oy Kigari Nasa. You don't need that much food. As long as the food equals either one of the two, the flesh, the fruit part, or its pit. The date has a rather large size pit, so it's either or. That's considered enough of a shear for Yom Kippur. Tosfos brings another pshat in the name of the Aruch. The question is, do we figure in the space between the fruit of the date and the pit itself? Tzorich lema'ich es chalala, meaning do you have to actually press the flesh against the pit to produce the kesevis used as a shear of Yom Kippur? So that's what kamayo ukigari nasa means, bigari nasa. It means you have to press it against the garen to produce that rather smaller sized date. Now it's missing its little space inside. And that's going to be the shear. Or but loigari nasa means just leave it as is, with the gap, the space between the flesh part and the pit part. So this whole thing, in totality, provides the shear of Yom Kippur. Those are the two tzedadim in the Gemara. By Rav Ashi, he had a similar shaila regarding a different shear. Etzem kesoir, we know that a small sized bone of a mace, the size of a barley. Etzem etami b'maga b'maso. Etzem kesoir, when we spoke about a barley, what type of barley are we speaking about? With its skin or without its skin? Bikli pasa, with its shell still intact, or bikli pasa, or with its skin removed, which is actually smaller. Belacha, or bivesha, we're speaking about a fresh barley, which is actually larger, or bivesha, or dried out, in which case it's smaller. So we're not sure. Now, Rav Ashi lemi boile hadar Rav Papa. Rav Ashi never contemplated Rav Papa's shaila. Kesevas hagasa, do we mean smaller, bigger, with a pit, without a pit? Gasa itmar. Mishnah says, Kesevas hagasa, as big as you can get. Kol kama de gasa, the biggest you can get, with its pit, with the gap, with the space. That's the shir achilah Yom Kippur. I want to say, so on the point of achilah Yom Kippur is to dispel the inui. So, apparently, you need a rather large size shir for that. The fact that the Mishnah used the word gasa, that indicates to us that go large, as big as you can get. So you have no shaila as far as that. In fact, the Gemara later seems to follow this approach, that the kesevis includes its pit. So that explains where Rav Ashi didn't agree with Rav Papa. Rav Papa, on the other hand, lo yimiboyle hadar Rav Ashi. Rav Papa never had the shaila of Rav Ashi regarding the barley. It's pretty clearly defined, Rav Papa would hold. Why? Lacha, to say that it's a moist, fresh barley, shiboyles mikri. That's not called soira. That's referred to as shibolus. So of course it's dried. Shaloi b'klipasa, on the other hand, to say it's without a skin, ushla mikri. That's referred to with the word ushla. So since the Chachamim used the word kisa'ira, etzem kisa'ira, that indicates a dried barley with its skin intact. Okay, so we speak about Kesevas Hagasa. How do we relate to it on our terms? We know about Kezias, Kebetza. Where does Kesevas Hagasa fit in that ladder? Omar Rav Yehuda. Kesevas Hagasa she'amru yaseiru mikebetza. You meant to know that this Kesevas Hagasa is actually larger in volume than a Kebetza. Now, why is it? Why is it so that when it comes to other Yisurim, the Shir Achila is Kezayis. That's standard. When it comes to Yom Kippur, one is not over, in a Torah at least, until he has a Kesevas Hagasa, which, according to this approach, is greater than a Kebetza. Why? Answers the Gemara. V'kim luhu l'rabban. It was known to the Rabbanon, the b'hochem miyas v'dayte. This amount of food is needed to bring Yishuv Hadas, to calm him down, to put him at ease, to make him feel satisfied. But less than this sheer of food, although it's achila, but it doesn't accomplish Yishuv Hadas. Loi miyas v'dayte, it doesn't settle him down. And if he doesn't come to the point of Yishuv Hadas, he had not been over achila on Yom Kippur, explains Rashi. 7 lines from the top. Kimu l'rabbanon. Asks Rashi, Va'afagav de kol shir achilas isur, because Kezayisi, generally, achilas isur is Kezayis. Why is it different? Hani mili hecha de ksiva achila. That's when we speak about achila. A maisa achila requires a shir Kezayis of oichel. Aval hocha, as opposed to Yom Kippur, asher loy tu'un eksiv. Torah warns against dispelling inui, being mevatel inui, v'chol kama de lemias v'dayte inuihu. Even if he ate a kezayis, but he's not settled down. He's not at ease. He's still experiencing inui. So unless he has a kesevas agasa, he was not mevatel inui. It's interesting that the Gemara in Erevin actually tells us that the din of kesevas agasa in Kippur is learned from a pasuk or Lach Meshmi Sinai. Here the Gemara presents it as kimlu l'rabbanon. It was known to the Rabbanon. The Farshim answer. We knew from the Halacha L'Meshim Sinai, and it was based on a pasuk, that Kesevis is the given shear of Achila on Yom Kippur. But what type of Kesevis? Small, medium, huge, jumbo? This is the point of Al Gemara. We go big. Kesevis Hagasa. Up until that point, Chachamim knew definitively. It doesn't provide Yishuv Hadas, which is a prerequisite for Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, is that so? That what? The Kesevas Hagasa is larger than a Kebetza. Listen to this. Meis ve'yav kasha from a Mishnah in Sukkah. Maasa. There was a story ve'yiviyu l'rabon Yechonan Mezakai. Lita mesatashel. They brought Yechonan Mezakai something to taste, some of the cooked dish. A small amount of food. L'rabon Gamliel. They offered him shtei kesevas, two dates, with lishal mayim and a pitcher of water. This was on sukkahs. Generally, if it's only a snack, you can eat it out of the sukkah, but they insisted on taking it up to the sukkah. V'amru he'elum l'sukkah, take it up to the sukkah. Rashi in Shabbos says, the sukkahs were usually positioned on their rooftops. Take it up to the sukkah. So they insist on eating these in the sukkah. V'tanila, and the Brice explained on this, lo'im l'shalocha kach. It wasn't required api halacha, because it was only a achilas araya, a snack. It didn't need sukkah. Elish ha-ratu l'hachmer al-atzman. These chachamim wanted to be machmer themselves. They want to really live in the sukkah, even snack in the sukkah. In fact, the Gemara sukkah tells us, the chiddush is, it's not mechzik yura. It doesn't look like a boastful act. I want to be machmer. No, it's acceptable, it's fine. So once a pshat, chachamim are very particular about what they eat. They don't just snack. Everything is important. Everything has significance. So they treat even a small snack like a achila that has significance, achilas kva, go take it to the sukkah. In any case, we see from the Mishnah here that this type of volume of food, shtei kesevas, is not considered achilas kva. So apparently it's less than a kebetz. Because we know that a kebetza of food is considered an achilas kva. It takes on the characteristics of a meal. How do we know this? Continue on. Ukshenas no loy derab tzadik. And when they offered Rab Tzadik oichel pachas mikabetza, food, bread, which was less than a sheer kabetza, what did he do? Natali b'map. Firstly, he didn't wash his hands. He just handled it with a cloth, with a napkin. V'achle chutz l'sukkah. He ate it outside the sukkah because less than a kabetza. V'li b'yiruch achrob, nor did he bake b'yiruch samoza in following that meal. Let's go over to Rashi, who explains these things. 5 lines from the bottom. Natali b'map. V'achle. He says there were 3 things included here. Shloisha kulin no'agboy. Rab Tzadik applied 3 leniencies. Achashlim natal yadav. He didn't wash his hands for tzil sadaim. El b'mapa karach yadav. He wrapped his hands with a mapa to handle the food. Mishama ninus, hadas. Because he was particular. It was just a hygiene concern. Tosis actually says he was concerned about mitami the food. In any case, he didn't do it until sadaim. That was one kula. V'chutz l'suka achli, he ate out of the sukkah. And thirdly, v'loy birach achrov. He didn't make birach samazin because he held the shear of bread that requires birach samazin is a kapetza. This was less than a kapetza. So what do we see? Less than a kapetza can be eaten out of the sukkah. Ha kapetza by sukkah. Apparently, food that has a share of kapetza needs a sukkah. Right? Pretty clear from Rab Tzadik. Because it was less than a kibetza, it was okay out of the sukkah. Apparently, if it's kibetza or more, by a sukkah. Right? Now, let's go back to the first story. 2 kaisaves, 2 dates, were considered less than a kibetza. They could have had it out of the sukkah. They were machmer to take it up to the sukkah. Apparently, 2 kaisaves are less than a kibetza. How could you say that a keseves hagas on Yom Kippur is more than a kibetza? Says the Gemara, v'salkadaitach keseves hagas ha-sha'om. He said, a kibetza, if you're a Yehuda, tells us that a keseves hagas is considered more than a kibetza. How does this work? If 2 dates, suppose they're average-sized dates, okay, they're not jumbo dates, but 2 of them together don't equal a kibetza, 1 big one, will be more than a kibetza. So you're jumping 2 steps from less than a kibetza to more? How do you get to there? Right? If 2 dates together, medium-sized dates, only equal less than a kibetza, how would 1 large-sized date get you to more than a kibetza? I want to figure the gap is too wide. It's not svara. That would be so. You say in the kibetza. So according to you, that kiseves agas is greater than the kibetza. How does this work with the Mishnah here? If 2 dates without pits, we're assuming they had the 2 dates without pits, right? That's what they ate. So the fruit part of 2 dates are less than a kibetza. Kiseves agas vigarinasa. Can you say that a large-sized date, even with its pit, will be greater than a kibetza? So again, you're working with 3 levels, right? Less than a kibetza, kibetza, and more than a kibetza. If 2 dates without their pits, meaning just the fruit part, equal less than a kibetza, how could you say that a large-sized date with a pit will be not only a kibetza, but more than a kibetza? Omer b'yirmiya, in 100%, yeah, it works. Why? Because the pit itself actually occupies more space, at least the dates that they had, takes up more space than the fruit part. For instance, the fruit part, let's say, would be 40% of the total volume of this date, and the pit portion, 60%. That's the case, it works. In, yeah. Shtei kaisavas b'loy gari nasan, 2 smaller-sized dates without their pits. Let's have a kibetza. That won't get you to a kibetza. Kaisavas hagas v'gari nasan. But when you have a large-sized date with a pit included, that's for sure, more than a kibbetza. Havi yiserim kibbetza. That gets you beyond the kibbetza. So if we break it down like this, we have two small dates without pits. So we have fruit and fruit. Each one, let's say, is only 40% of its total volume, right? Let's say the pit takes up most of the space here. Pit is 60%, fruit is 40%. So you have two medium-sized dates of just fruit without pit. So it's, let's say, 40% of one date, 40% of the other. On the other hand, you have a keseves hagasa with the garen. And you have two advantages there. Why? Because it's a larger date to start off with. So the fruit part of that larger date is already bigger than the fruit part of the smaller date. But not only that, you have a pit in there as well. A pit is even more than the fruit part of that larger date. So it's 60% of that larger date. So that pit is way bigger than the fruit part of the smaller dates. So now you understand how you can bump it up two levels. Two smaller dates without pits are less than a kibbetza. One larger date with a pit included gets you up to a kibbetza and beyond the kibbetza. Right? You have two advantages. You moved it up two levels beyond the smaller size dates without their pits. So on the one hand, we have shtei keseves less than a kibbetza because there were small ones and without pits. Now you have keseves hagasa yom kippur, which is greater than kibbetza because the fruit part is bigger, it's a bigger date, and the pit part is there as well, and that's really big. Amar papa, hainu de amr inchi. Now you understand the common phrase, trei kabi de tamri. If you have two kav of dates with pits included there, how much pit do you have? Chad kava, you have one kav, the kashiyas of the pits, but surich and a bit left over. Right? So when you have two kav of dates, pits included, how much do the pits take up? Even more than a kav. A kav and surich and a bit left over. Because the pit portion is greater in size than the fruit portion. Okay, so we had a kasha, and we answered the kasha. Rabbi Yehuda was one who told us that keseves hagasa, used for Yom Kippur purposes, is greater than a kibbetza. We seem to have a kasha. Mishnah says, two keseves don't even equal a kibbetza. Answer is, here we're speaking about a large one with its pit. Rav Amar, I'll give you another teretz. Hasam hainu taima. You know why? By sukkah. He didn't have to eat the two keseves in the sukkah. Perhaps we're speaking about even more than a kibbetza, right? Keseves hagasa is more than a kibbetza. Two smaller keseves, more than a kibbetza. Hosom hainu taima, the reason why he was able to eat it out of the sukkah is because it's fruit. Mishum dahava l'peri, it's peri. U'peri lebo is sukkah. You never eat fruit in a sukkah, it's not achilas kva. So min adin, they can eat it out of the sukkah regardless of how much fruit they're eating. Meisvei, we had a kash on this. Omer Rebbe, kishahayinu leinim teira. Eitz a Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. When we were learning Torah by Rabbi Lazar, heviyu lefaneinu teinim vanovim. They offered us dates and grapes. Vachalnim achilas arechutz ha-sukkah. And we had it out of the sukkah because it was only a small amount, achilas arai, which is considered a snack, less than a kibbetz. So we infer from here, achilas arayin, the diuk is, it was only muta out of the sukkah because it was less than a kibbetz, it was achilas arai. Achilas kvaloi, apparently if it would have been a permanent meal, meaning if this fruit would have equaled a kibbetz, you have to eat it in the sukkah. The Kashan Rava, who says Peiris can be eaten out of the sukkah, regardless of how much it is. So the Marloi, that's not Pshat in the price. Ema, interpreted as follows. Achalnum, ki achilas arechutz ha-sukkah. We ate a large supply of these fruit out of the sukkah because, regardless of how much it is, it's always considered like a snack. Peiris don't have a chashivas, they don't need sukkah. In line with Rava's Shita. Iboy say another pshat in the brisa, achalnu ma'achilas kva. We ate a large amount of this these fruits, kibetza, more. Va'achalnu pas achilas arei ba'adayu chuzal sukkah. We added some bread, but there we had to make sure it was less than a kibetza. It was achilas arei, and that allowed us to have it out of the sukkah. But as per the fruit itself, that can be eaten out of the sukkah, regardless how much it is. Leva Masayeli perhaps will have a raya to Rabbah, that pears can be eaten out of the sukkah. See, Rabbi Lezer in Masechah Sukkah tells us, one needs to eat 14 su'udos inside his sukkah throughout Yom Tov. More later there, changes it, but in the Hava Mina, that's what Rabbi Lezer seemed to say. And the Gemara says, suppose he missed one of the meals. He could always make it up later throughout Yom Tov. Lefichachem hishlam b'mina targima yatsa. If he made up that missed meal, even using targima, Rashi says, lift on things that accompany bread, fish, meat, his yaitse, it's good enough for a makeup meal, even though he didn't have bread. Actually, Tosfos says, some want to bring a raya from this Gemara, that for Suda Shlishis on Shabbos, since it's not one of the main meals, night and morning are the main meals, but the extra meal, the Suda Shlishis, what we call Shalosh Shudas, can consist of even mini targima, just as the Suda here can be made up using these materials. He says, no, there's a difference. On Shabbos, we meant to have three Su'udais, because the Torah mentions the word Hayoim, Ichlu Hayoim, by the Mon, three times. Says Tosfos, you need bread. Why? Because the Mon was Bimkoim Pas, was a staple food, it served as bread. And therefore he says you have to have three times bread. And then he says, well, even if you propose that you can be yaitse with mini targima for Suda Shlishis, that's only basar, dogim, but peris won't work. As the Gemara here will be madaik that certainly peris, which is not even as choshev as fish or meat, cannot be used to make up a lost meal. And likewise, for shalashulis, you can't use it either. That's tasteless. In any case, the Gemara presents this as a raya to Rava. So if he missed a meal, he can make it up with mini targim. If that is so, that peris require a sukkah, you have to eat it in a sukkah listening peris. The Brisa should have said a greater chiddush. You can make up the lost meal using peris. We're looking to make up a missed sukkah meal. The Brisa should have said a greater chiddush, that Paris can provide that makeup meal because Paris needs a sukkah. It's considered a sukkah meal. Apparently, it doesn't need sukkah. You can eat it out of the sukkah. Therefore, it doesn't count as a makeup meal. That's a right to Rav. Says more, not necessarily. My mini targima. When the Brisa says mini targima, it's an undefined term. Paris. Perhaps it is referring to fruit, which require a sukkah, and can be used to make up that missed meal. Another pshat in the Brisa, but Asher the Lishchichi Peru, speaking about a locale which doesn't really have much fruit, and the Tana didn't want to relate to fruit, which are uncommon in that area, so he related to Minatargima, fish and meat. But perhaps Perus do require a sukkah, you don't really have a riot to Rav. Okay, so let's summarize this Gemara. What is the share of Kisevas Agas of Yom Kippur? Says Rabbi Yehuda, greater in size than even a kibetza. The Gemara explained, it's meant to bring Yishuv Hadas, Asher Loi Teuna, only a bittul of Inoy, and therefore we require a greater share than usual. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it means more than a kibetza. Rav Zvid Amar, he disagrees. Kisevas Agas Asher Amru? This Kisevas Agas described in the Mishnah, chaser mi kibetza. It's actually less than a kibetza. Now the Mefarshim ask, is this a machlekes in reality, in Metzius? Hard to believe that this is a machlekes amaroim regarding the reality of a large sized date. Is it this? Is it that? So the Mefarshim explain, it isn't. It isn't a shaila in Metzius, how to measure a large sized date. The question is, what constitutes a large sized date? You see, there aren't really different sizes, different classes, different categories. You have dates running from the smallest all the way to the biggest. Where do you draw the line? What's considered small, considered big? Now, the truth is that whenever we speak about a kazayis, kebetza, kesevitz, the Mishnah in Kalim speaks about averaging it out. And the kazayis isn't going to follow the biggest one you find or the smallest one you find. It's beinoni, the average sized date. Here as well, kesevitz hagasa is referring to a jumbo date, but an average jumbo date. So how do you define that? How do you determine what's considered large sized dates from which you can draw an average? Oh, so that's the shayla. Where do you place the demarcation line? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he picks up the demarcation line. He says, once you get to a certain size, all the way up there, that's when Kesev HaSagasa begins. That begins the category. That's classified. From there on, it's classified as a jumbo date. Then you take all that and you average it out, which according to him, results in a share of Yoisa Mekabetz, whereas a Zvid sort of lowers the threshold. You begin viewing this as a Kesev HaSagasa, meaning from here on. So he takes the smaller ones as well into that category, in which case the average Kesev HaSagasa will end up being smaller in size, less than a Kebetz. So that's his sheet. Helping a riot to that. That's not. Mishnah in Pesachim says, what is the shiur of Bal Yira'e or Bal Yimotze? Beishama Imrim, Soer B'Kazayis. Depends what type of chametz. Soer, sourdough, a leavening agent, which is a very concentrated form of chametz. If one should have that in his home on Pesach, he's over on Bal Yira'e or Bal Yimotze as soon as it has a shiur Kazayis. Chametz, however, ordinary chametz, if it has a share of a date, then it's over b'al-yiro b'al-yimotze. So according to Bishamai, there's a difference between different types of chametz. We asked the kasha my time, but the Bishamai, how does he know to be machalgrin, this type of chametz and that type of chametz? And one assumes, Rashi will explain, that we usually work with a sheer kazayis, because b'al-yiro b'al-yimotze is learned from Achila, just as Achila is b'kazayis, so too is Bal Yira. So how did Beishamai arrive at a shir kesevis by chametz? My time at Beishamai, answer is, nichtav rachmanu chametz, lo'i bo yisoyer. Why did the Torah have that spell out? You shouldn't have chametz in your possession, you shouldn't have soyer. Pasuk didn't have to spell it out. The Pasuk could simply said chametz, lo'i bo yisoyer, you didn't have to spell out soyer as well. Vana amina, I would have just said on my own. Of course, if chametz is aser, soyer certainly. Uma chametz she'en chimutzei kasha aser b'kazayis. Look, if chametz, which is not really a severe form of chametz, it's more of a watered down type, it's aser to have it in your home once you have a kazayis. Soyer she'chimutzei kasha l'kashkein. Wouldn't you think that soyer, which is a higher level, a more concentrated form of chametz, is usher as well? Why does the Torah have to list them individually? Oh, midi palginu rachmana, the fact that the Torah had to spell them both out. Limdalach, by doing so, the Torah is teaching you shi'uri shalzeh, loike shi'uri shalzeh. The shi'urim are not similar. So'er b'kazayis, as soon as you have a kazayis of a so'er, that constitutes the isser of Bal Yira'eh. The chametz, however, over there, he's not over until he has a larger amount of chametz. Let's go over to Rashi, 10 lines from the top. So, Arba Kazayis, Le'ini Bal Yiro Bal Yimotz, Shiris Shazeh, Loiki Shiris Shazeh, Al Karchach, the chametz Navish Mekazayis. The fact that the Torah needed to spell them out, that's indicative of the fact that the shear of chametz is larger than the soer, meaning more makel, of course. He's not over until he gets to the larger shear. Lochi kasav soer. That's exactly what Torah mentioned soer. Di lo kasav. The gomar mechametz. Had the Torah not written soer, and it would have been learned out from chametz, havamina would say, daye love min adin leis kenidan. When you learn A from B, A has to be similar to B. You can't surpass B, who's serving as a source. And since soyer is being derived from chametz, you couldn't be machmer by soir over chametz v'loy mechayiv alei el b'shula rabba. So now the Torah spells them both out. What does it tell you? The shiurim are different. And by chametz, you only chayiv if you have a large quantity. L'hochi kasvi rachman l'chiyuvei akazayis. That's why the Torah had to write them both out to tell you. On the one hand, chametz has a bigger shiur. On the other hand, soir has a shiur kazayis. Deal with pachas mekazayis like a lememer. Now certainly you can't go down less than a kazayis. It can be machmer by re'iyah more than achila. Stam achila with kazayis. Eating as a kazayis, certainly re'iyah can't be more severe than that. Al kochach. So the conclusion is hachomer by kazayis. Soir, which is chomer, works with a shir kazayis. Va'al kal, chomet, which is kal, b'yoyis me kazayis, greater than a kazayis. Now, what is the shir of chomets? Kisevis, right? So looking for a shir which is a level higher than a kazayis. Soir is more chomer, that's kazayis. Chomets, which is more kal, you need more to be over. Let's assume it's the next level, right? Says the Gemara in the first line, first wide line. Now let's go back to our sugi. This is Rav Zvid speaking. I'm going to disprove Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a Kesev Sagasa is greater than a Kebetza. If that's so, so the starting point is Sa'ir B'Kazayis. Chametz needs more. So it's the next level. Which shear do Beis Shammai apply to chametz? Kesevis. One second, you've gone too far. You've upgraded many levels. You've gone from kazayis, past kebetz, all into kesevis. What right do you have to do that? If kesevis agas is greater than the kebetzah, michti, let's analyze. Let's take a look. Beis Shammai she'ura, the nafesh mekazayis kamahadri. Beis Shammai are looking for what? Looking for a shear which is a bit greater than a kazayis. Soar gets kazayis. Chametz, which is more kal, needs more to be over. We assume it's the next step up. Listen to kibbetz. He should have said kibbetz. What right do we have to apply even a greater shear? You're not over until you have a kisevis, which is more than kibbetz. How do you know that? Pasuk never said kisevis. Pasuk indicated to us that chametz is more kal. You need more, a bit more. Kibbetz. How do you go all the way to kisevis? That's one thing. Right? Rav Zvid proves that kesevis cannot be greater than kebetza. Then he's going to prove that you can't even suggest that kesevis is equal in size, equal in volume to kebetza. Right? He said it's less, right? You can't say it's equal. Even if you'll suggest that kesevis is equal in volume to kebetza, nisni kebetza. If that was so, then why would Beis Shammai describe it as kesevis, which is an unfamiliar term? It should have simply said kebetza, which is a more commonly used term. Ah! Ela lav shmami. No? Doesn't this prove my point? Kesevis pchus me kebetza. Kesevis is less than a kebetza. So now it makes sense. Soir has a kezais. Chametz goes a bit higher. Kesevis, which is the next step. Let's go over to Rashi. 13 lines in the bottom. Michti Beis Shammai lo yomru kekesevis. Ela mishum debo shir chametz tfei mishal soir. They're looking for a shir which is slightly larger than soir. Shu bekezayis. Meitzer krodor b'chtevinu. In fact, the Torah to spell it out. Tells you that there are two shiurim here. Right? Soir is kezayis. Chametz a bit higher. V'imatsu shir pachas mekesevis. V'yasal kezayis. Hayim sharam bay. They would have found a shir less than a kesevis. Greater than a kazayis, they would have used it. Right? They're looking just for the shear which is a bit higher than a kazayis. V'im kebetza b'chusim b'kesevis. According to Rav Yehuda, the kesevis is the largest one around. Kebetza is below kesevis. Listen to kebetza. They should have picked kebetza. V'inam kehadad ininu. And even, perhaps you'll suggest that that kebetza and kesevis are equal in volume. Even if that's the case, it won't either work. Why? Lema kebetza. Beis Shammai should have said kebetza. Shehu shagra mishna yoser. Miki kesevis lenu tumas eichlem. We find kibetza is a more commonly used phrase when it comes to Tumas Eichon. Throughout the Mishnayos, they should have used that familiar term over kesebes. This proves my point. Kesebes is the next one up between kezias and kibetza. That's why he specifically mentioned kesebes. Response to the Gemara on the fourth white line. Mimai, how do you know that's to be true? You say to me, kibetza, you know what? It can really be that Rav Yehuda is right on. A kesebes hagasa is greater than a kibetza. On Yom Kippur, a kesebes hagasa is more than a kibetza. That's not the discussion there by Chametz. Hastama kibetza. Shami didn't mention kesebes hagasa, a jumbo date. They spoke about a typical kesebes, a medium-sized date. And that can have the same volume of a kibetza, which is one step above a kezias. That makes sense. Sar is a kezias. Chametz, the next step is a kibetza. V'inamik yadadi ninu. So even if you'll say that they're both the same size, meaning a kibetza, and the kesebes discussed in the Mishnah by Chametz is the same in volume, why did he pick the term kesebes, which is an unfamiliar term? V'chadri b'na onoka, it's not a kash. He picked one of the two terms. Perhaps there's a reason why he chose kesebes. Perhaps we're speaking about food-related isurim, eating and balira, which is connected to eating. Don't have it around, so you won't come to eat it. Therefore, he picked the lashon kesebes, which is eating-related, food-related, like we see by Yom Kippur, as opposed to kibetza, which is more often used for tumas eichlin, which is not really a topic of conversation by Chametz. So perhaps there's a reason why. We can explain why he chose kesebes. But in any case, there's no raya to our discussion. And in Kippur, we speak about a kesebes hagasa, which perhaps is greater in size than a kibetz. Over there, we spoke about a kesebes stama, a smaller-sized date, which is perhaps equal to a equal or maybe smaller in size. Tosfos learns, he has a different gears in the Gemara. It's smaller than a kibetza. Whatever it is, it's unrelated to our sugya on Yom Kippur. El Mahach says, Rav Zvid, I'll bring you another ride to my shita. Kesebes agasa for Yom Kippur is less than a kibetza. Ad kama mezamnim. How much does one have to eat to be chayev? In Zimun, Rashi learns, it's a reference to Birchas HaMazon. How much does he have to eat? At Kazayis. Divrei Rav Meir, Kazayis is the minimum that requires Birchas HaMazon. Rav Yehuda Omer, at Kabetz, according to Rav Yehuda, you have to eat a Kabetz to be Chayiv Birchas HaMazon. But Ma'ay Kamifligi, what's the basis to this Machlokes? It's based on how to interpret a Pasuk. Rav Meir Sofer, V'ochalta, V'savalta, V'rachta. Right? V'ochalta, Zu Achila. You eat and drink, and then say Berchas Amos. Va'achila be'kazayis. Typically, the word achila refers to a shir kazayis. Even a shir kazayis obligates one in Berchas Amos. Rabbi the Savar, no. Ve'ochalta ve'savata goes together. Achila sheyesh basviya. Generally, achila is a kazayis. Achalta ve'savata. An achila which generates satisfaction, some minimal degree of fullness, ve'eze, it's a kibetza. It's a larger share. We need a kibetza to achieve that state of at least temporary fullness. And only that is chayiv berchas hamazon. This is actually in line with Reb Tzadik, right? We had in the bottom of Amud Aleph, it was less than a kibetza. He didn't make berchas hamazon. He had like Reb Yehuda. Only kibetza is mechayiv berchas hamazon. Okay, so that's the end of the discussion regarding berchas hamazon. How does it pertain to us? Do you hold that a kesevah sagasa on Yom Kippur is larger than a kibetza? How does this work? Hashta kibetza. Svui maspa. You just told me that a kibetza generates svia, some degree of fullness. Even a kibetza does that. Data lemiasva. Is it not going to generate Yishev Adas, which is what we're trying to achieve on Yom Kippur? Of course it will. It's Masbiha. It satiates. It's full. It fills him. Of course it's going to bring Yishev Adas. Says Rav Zvid, apparently, A Kesefes Hagasa can't be more than a Kebetza. You don't need that much. Kebetza is certainly enough. El Lashmamina, this proves my point, that Kesefes Hagasa She'anu, Pachas Mekebetza. It's actually less than a Kebetza. That explains the halacha. So Kezayis is Achila. The next level, Kebetza Maspa. A Shir Kebetza actually brings fullness and satisfies. Kekesefes, which is right in the middle between Kezayis, Maisa Achila, and Kebetza, which is Sviya, this Kesefes is a bit more than Achila, but it doesn't really achieve fullness, doesn't really satiate. Mias Vadaite, it does enough to calm him down, to settle him down, which is the Isser Yom Kippur. So this is Rav Zvid's approach. He says there's Achila, which is Kezayis. Then on Yom Kippur, we need more than Achila, as we explained back in Amud Aleph. It doesn't say Achila on Yom Kippur, it says Ashaloi Tu'una. It's associated with Yishuv Hadas, with settling a person down, with calming him down. Therefore, it says Rav Zvid, you need more than Achila, but just a bit more. Kesefes Hagasa, which is a bit more than a Kezayis, you don't need a Kebetza. You don't need Sviya. That's going a bit too far. That explains the Shita, that Kesefes Hagasa is less than a kibetza. Apparently Rav Yehuda holds, you need more than a kibetza to achieve Yishev Hadas. What does he do with Rav Zvid's Raya? Why would you need more than a kibetza just to achieve Yishev Hadas? You've already filled yourself, you've already gotten to Sviya once you've eaten a kibetza. Why do you need more of them? So the truth is that Tosfos, and Amud Aleph brings, that this whole discussion between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Shir Brichas HaMazon, it's only Midrabban. Midaraisa? One is only Chayev if he filled himself completely, he had a full meal. He calls it Tzviya Gemura. But just a Kezayis and Kebetza is Chayev Midrabban. So there are two levels of Tzviya, it's pretty clear. It's Tzviya Gemura, he had a full meal, he's good to go. Then there's the Kebetza, which Rabbi Yehuda calls Tzviya. How does he call it Sviya? It doesn't really fill a person. Apparently, it's something called a temporary filling. The Gemara Sukkah speaks about, and Chavav, about a Bar Beirav, a Talmud that runs into the Shir, grabs a bite, a Kebetza, to sort of fill him for the moment. It's a temporary fullness. So that's the Sviya that a Kebetza generates. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's enough to be Mechayev Brichas HaMazon. So apparently, regarding Yom Kippur, we speak about being Miyashiv Daitai, Rav Yehuda, right, the Amora, who says that a Kesefes Hagasa is greater than Kebetza. He held that you need something more than usual. And according to him, more means more than just a temporary Sviya. Right? Even though he has a Kebetza which accomplishes Sviya, but of course it doesn't mean a Sviya Gemura, it's just a temporary effect. Like, you know, after a fast, a person sits down, he just has a little bite, that calms him down, temporarily. Fill him for the long term. So Kebetza has a Sviya effect, but it's only a temporary effect. The difference is, you'd have to go beyond that for Yom Kippur. To be Miyashiv Daite, to achieve Yishev Hadas, you need a bit more than even that Shir of Sviya. And that's how he arrives at his Shir, that Kesefes Hagasa is greater than a Kebetza. Okay, just to briefly summarize, we discussed the Shir of Kesefes Hagasa and Kippur. As Rashi explained, the Isser is not Achila, rather being Mevatel, the Inui, bringing about Yishev Hadas, which to the Rabbanu was clear that we're speaking about a Shir of Kesefes Hagasa. What exactly is this? Rabbi just says, greater than a Kebetza. Rav Zvid says, it's less than a Kebetza. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabba.